A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's asking about desk surfaces for a home office setup that's supporting a multi-monitor array. A decent amount of weight. What wood species maximize durability? What finishes actually protect against the kind of daily abuse a desk takes? And what's the gold standard for absolute durability? And I love this question because most people spend more time researching their monitor stands than the thing holding up their monitor stands.
Your desk is the unsung hero of your entire workflow. It's holding thousands of dollars of screens, your keyboard, your elbows, your coffee, and most people pick one because it looked nice in the showroom. With hybrid work still at around 40% of the workforce and monitor arrays getting heavier, a 32-inch 4K panel weighs 15 to 20 pounds each. This is a structural and financial decision, not just an aesthetic one.
Picture a desk sagging under three monitors. The slow, inevitable bow in the middle. The terrified glance every morning to check if today's the day it gives up.
It's not just weight. A home office desk faces a unique combination of stresses. You've got static load from monitor arms and maybe a tower PC, dynamic load from typing and leaning on it, and environmental stress. Coffee spills, direct sunlight through a window, heat radiating off the backs of monitors. It's a surprisingly hostile environment for a flat piece of wood.
We're looking at two axes here. The wood species, which is the substrate, the skeleton, and the finish, which is the protective layer. Neither one alone is sufficient. They work as a system. A great finish on soft wood still dense. A hardwood with no finish still stains.
Right, and we need to define what absolute durability even means here. Scratch resistance isn't the same as moisture resistance, which isn't the same as structural integrity under load. For this episode, let's define the gold standard as the combination that survives 10 plus years of daily use without visible degradation. No warping, no water rings, no dents from dropping a keyboard, no finish wearing through where your wrists rest.
We're not just picking the hardest wood and slapping the toughest finish on it. This is about engineered solutions. There are trade-offs at every level, and the thing that works for a restaurant table might be terrible for a desk you build yourself in the garage.
That last part matters. Some of the most durable finishes in existence require professional spray equipment and a respirator. If you're a home user who wants to maintain your own desk over time, the gold standard shifts. So we're going to cover both paths. The absolute durability champion, and the practical gold standard for someone who wants to do this themselves.
Let's start with the skeleton of the desk, the wood itself. And the first thing you need to know is a number called the Janka hardness rating.
The Janka test is the industry standard for measuring how resistant a wood is to denting and wear. The way it works is remarkably straightforward. They take a steel ball, 11.28 millimeters in diameter, and press it into the wood until it's embedded to half its diameter. The force required, measured in pounds force, is the Janka rating. Higher number, harder wood.
Which sounds like the kind of test someone invented after a particularly frustrating afternoon of furniture damage.
It basically is. And here's where the numbers get interesting. Let's establish a baseline. Eastern white pine, which is what a lot of cheap furniture is made from, comes in at about 380 pounds force. That's basically butter. You can dent it with a firm stare.
That's what the big box store desk is made of. The one that costs $199 and starts wobbling before you even put anything on it.
Now, the minimum I would recommend for a desk that won't show every dropped pin is white oak, which comes in at 1,360 pounds force. That's your entry point for a serious desk. From there, you escalate. Hard maple is 1,450. Hickory jumps to 1,820. Brazilian cherry, also called jatoba, hits 2,350. And then you get to the absolute monsters.
I feel like there's a drum roll coming.
Also known as Brazilian walnut or ironwood. Janka rating of 3,680 pounds force. That is literally harder than some types of concrete. IPE is so dense it sinks in water. It doesn't float.
Just buy IPE and call it a day.
Here's the thing. Hardness isn't everything. IPE is so hard, it's genuinely difficult to machine. It dulls carbide saw blades. It's brittle in ways that softer woods aren't. And here's the real kicker. If the humidity in your home fluctuates, which it does, IPE can crack. A material that's hyper-dense and resistant to dents can also be less dimensionally stable than something softer.
You've got this tension between hardness and stability. The thing that resists your coffee mug might not resist the changing seasons.
And this is where the way the wood is cut matters enormously. You've probably heard the term quarter sawn. Most wood is flat sawn, which means the log is sliced parallel to the growth rings. It's efficient, you get wide boards, but the wood expands and contracts a lot across its width with humidity changes. Quarter sawn wood is cut radially, perpendicular to the growth rings. The grain runs straight up and down.
That changes how it behaves.
Quarter sawn wood expands and contracts about half as much as flat sawn wood across the grain. For a 10% humidity change, flat sawn moves about 4%, quarter sawn moves about 2%. That's the difference between a desk that stays flat for 20 years and one that develops a cupped warp after 2 winters.
A quarter sawn white oak at 1,360 Janka might actually be a better desk material than a flat sawn IP at 3,680, simply because it won't tear itself apart.
In a home with HVIC fluctuations, absolutely. The IPE resists dents better, but the quarter sawn white oak resists warping better. And a warped desk is a ruined desk. A small dent is just character.
Which brings up the engineered alternatives. I know you've got thoughts on plywood with hardwood veneers.
This is the secret weapon of high-end commercial furniture, and most people dismiss it because they hear plywood and think of the splintery stuff at the hardware store. But a proper furniture-grade plywood with a Baltic birch core and a thick hardwood veneer, I'm talking an 1/8-inch veneer, not the paper-thin stuff, can be more dimensionally stable than solid wood.
Because the cross-laminated layers fight each other.
Each layer of plywood has its grain running perpendicular to the layer above and below it. That means the whole panel resists movement in every direction. A solid wood board is like a bundle of straws. It only expands and contracts across the grain. A plywood panel is more like a grid. It barely moves at all.
You can still get the look of walnut or oak or maple on the surface.
A Herman Miller desk, for example, uses a 7-ply birch core with a 1/16-inch walnut veneer. It's lighter than solid walnut, it's more stable, it's cheaper, and you can refinish it twice before the veneer is exhausted. For most people, that's a lifetime of use.
What about the live-edge slab trend? The single massive piece of wood with the bark still on the sides.
They look incredible. They're also prone to checking, cracking along the grain as the wood dries. A live-edge slab is essentially a cross-section of a tree, and trees are full of internal stresses. As the moisture leaves, those stresses release, and the wood can split. If you buy one, it must be kiln-dried to 6-8% moisture content, which is the equilibrium for indoor furniture, and then stored in your home for at least 2 weeks to acclimate before you finish it.
Otherwise, you're building a desk on a ticking clock.
A very expensive ticking clock. A decent walnut slab big enough for a desk can run $2,000 to $3,000 unfinished. Watching it crack 6 months after you install it is a special kind of heartbreak.
What about bamboo? I see bamboo desks everywhere now. Isn't that technically a grass?
It is a grass. But strand-woven bamboo, which is the type used for desktops and flooring, is made by shredding bamboo fibers, soaking them in resin, and compressing them under enormous pressure. The resulting material has a Janka rating between 1,300 and 1,800 pounds force, depending on the manufacturing process. So it's in the same range as oak and maple. It's a valid budget option. The downside is, it has a very distinct look, those little fiber flecks, and it can't really be refinished the way solid wood can.
Pine, fir, poplar. Should anyone even consider them for a monitor desk?
I'm going to say no, with one narrow exception. Pine and fir are too soft. Poplar is harder than pine, but still only around 540 Janka. A monitor arm clamp exerts a tremendous amount of point pressure. On a softwood desk, it will leave a permanent depression, and over time that depression deepens, the clamp loosens, and suddenly your monitor is wobbling. The exception is if you're building a desk for a very light setup, a single laptop and a small monitor on a stand, not a clamp. But for a multi-monitor array with arms, avoid softwoods entirely.
Okay, so you've picked your wood species. But here's the thing. Raw wood is a sponge. Without the right finish, your $1,200 walnut slab is just an expensive cutting board. So let's talk about what goes on top.
This is where most people make their biggest mistake. They'll spend weeks researching wood species and then grab whatever finish is on sale at the hardware store. The finish is the thing that actually interacts with your coffee, your hand sanitizer, your sweaty wrists, the sunlight. It's the frontline defense.
Let's start with the worst options, just to get them out of the way.
Wax and Danish oil. They look beautiful. They give the wood a warm, natural, close-to-the-grain feel that no film finish can match, and they offer almost zero protection. A wet glass left on a wax desk will leave a white ring in minutes. Hand sanitizer, which is basically alcohol gel, will strip the finish instantly. If you eat at your desk, if you use hand sanitizer at your desk, if you have ever spilled anything ever, do not use wax or oil alone as your desk finish.
Those are for display furniture. The table in the hallway nobody touches.
Now let's move up to the workhorse, polyurethane. This is what most people think of when they think of a durable clear finish. It forms a plastic film on top of the wood that handles spills and scratches reasonably well. There are two main types, oil-based and water-based.
What's the practical difference?
Oil-based polyurethane has an amber tone that deepens over time. It makes wood look warmer, richer. It's also more chemically resistant. It handles solvents better. The downside is, it smells terrible during application, takes longer to dry between coats, and that amber tone can look dated or yellowed on lighter woods like maple. Water-based polyurethane dries clear and stays clear. It's lower odor, faster drying, and you can usually recoat in a couple hours instead of waiting overnight. The trade-off is, it's slightly less chemically resistant.
Both form that protective plastic film.
And that's both their strength and their weakness. Because the film sits on top of the wood, it can delaminate. If the wood expands and contracts underneath, the finish can crack or peel. It's not a common failure mode on a well-built desk in a climate-controlled home, but it can happen. And when polyurethane does get damaged, a deep scratch, a gouge, you generally have to sand down the entire surface and refinish. You can't spot repair it.
Which brings us to the gold standard for absolute durability. The thing the commercial world uses.
Also called catalyzed lacquer. This is what restaurant tables are finished with. High-end kitchen cabinets. Commercial furniture that gets absolutely abused. It's a two-part finish. You mix the varnish with an acid catalyst right before spraying, and a chemical reaction cross-links the molecules into a surface that is harder than polyurethane and more resistant to solvents, heat, and impact.
How much more resistant?
On the ASTM D1308 scale, which measures chemical resistance, conversion varnish scores a 5 out of 5 for common chemicals like acetone and isopropyl alcohol. Polyurethane might score a 3 or 4 depending on the formulation. A conversion varnish desk will survive a spilled bottle of nail polish remover. Polyurethane will not.
This is the answer to the prompt's question. Absolute durability. Gold standard. End of story.
With one massive caveat, conversion varnish requires professional spray equipment, a ventilated spray booth, and a respirator. The catalyst is nasty stuff. It contains isocyanates, which can cause respiratory sensitization. This is not a DIY-friendly product. You can't brush it on. You can't buy it at Home Depot. If you want a conversion varnish finish, you're either buying a desk that's already finished or you're paying a professional finisher.
For the home user who wants to build or finish their own desk, the gold standard is something else.
That's where the dark horse comes in. Hard wax oils. Products like Osmo Pollux or Rubio Monocoat, these are fundamentally different from film finishes. Instead of sitting on top of the wood, they penetrate into the fibers and cure there, creating a microporous surface that's bonded at the molecular level.
I remember comparing this to roots growing into soil.
That's actually a perfect analogy. The oil penetrates the wood structure and then hardens. The result is a surface that's water-resistant, reasonably scratch-resistant, and, this is the key advantage, repairable spot-wise. If you scratch a hard wax oil finish, you can sand just that spot, reapply the oil, and it blends in. With polyurethane, you'd see the repair line. With conversion varnish, you can't repair it at all without professional help.
It's the practical gold standard. Not the absolute toughest, but the one you can actually maintain over a decade of use.
Rubio Monocoat specifically cures to about 95% of its final hardness in 7 days. And the spot repair capability is remarkable. There's a YouTuber who reviews mechanical keyboards. They're constantly swapping keycaps, which means metal tools scraping across the desk surface. They use a Rubio monocoat finish on hard maple because they can sand out the scratches and reapply just the damaged area in about 20 minutes. Try doing that with polyurethane, and you'll have a visible patch that looks terrible.
Let's talk about heat resistance specifically. Monitor backs get warm. Is that actually a concern for these finishes?
Monitor backs typically reach about 95 to 105 degrees Fahrenheit. None of the finishes we've discussed will fail at that temperature. That's well within the safe range for polyurethane, conversion varnish, and hard wax oils. The bigger heat concern is direct sunlight. A south-facing window can heat a dark wood surface to 140 degrees Fahrenheit or higher on a sunny day. That's enough to soften wax finishes and, over time, it can degrade oil-based polyurethane.
If your desk faces a window, go light-colored.
Or use a UV-inhibiting finish. Many water-based polyurethanes include UV blockers specifically for this reason. And conversion varnish is inherently UV-resistant because of the cross-linked molecular structure. But yes, a light-colored maple desk with a UV-inhibiting finish is going to age better in a sunny room than a dark walnut desk with an oil finish.
What about epoxy resin? I see those river tables everywhere, the ones with the blue epoxy running through the middle.
Epoxy is an interesting case for a desk finish. As a poured coating, it's extremely durable. It's essentially a thick layer of hard plastic. It's waterproof, it's heat resistant to a point, it's scratch resistant. The problems are threefold. First, it's expensive and finicky to apply. You need a perfectly level surface, a dust-free environment, and a torch to pop bubbles. Second, it can yellow over time, especially if exposed to UV light. Third, and this is the one nobody talks about, epoxy is brittle. It can crack if the wood underneath moves. And unlike hard wax oil, you can't spot repair a cracked epoxy finish. You're looking at sanding the entire surface down and repouring.
It's high risk, high reward. Looks spectacular if it works, catastrophic if it fails.
It fails in ways that are extremely difficult to fix. I'd only recommend epoxy for a desk if you're working with a professional who guarantees their work, or if you're using it on a plywood substrate that you know won't move.
The hardware store spray-on polyurethanes, the ones that claim to be waterproof in one coat, are those worth anything?
They're fine for a quick project, but they're not in the same league as the products we've been discussing. The spray-on polyurethanes from big box stores are typically a thinner formulation with more solvents, which means they go on easy but don't build the same film thickness as a brush-on or professional product. They'll protect against water rings for a while, but they'll wear through faster, especially where your wrists rest. For a desk you want to last a decade, don't reach for the spray can.
What about food safety? A lot of people eat at their desks.
Once fully cured, which typically takes about 30 days, both polyurethane and conversion varnish are considered food safe for incidental contact. You wouldn't want to chop vegetables directly on them, but setting down a sandwich or a bowl of soup is fine. Hard wax oils like Rubio Monocoat are explicitly food safe once cured. They're actually used on wooden kitchen countertops and cutting boards in some applications. The key word is cured. Uncured finish is not food safe, and the curing time varies by product and humidity.
All of this can feel overwhelming. There are dozens of species and a dozen finish types. So let me give you a decision framework that cuts through the noise.
Here's how I'd break it down. If you want set-it-and-forget-it durability, buy a desk that comes with a conversion. Varnish finish on quarter-sawn white oak or hard maple. That's the commercial-grade solution. Expect to pay $800 to $1,500 for a 60 by 30-inch top. You will never have to think about it again. It will survive coffee, hand sanitizer, sunlight, and monitor heat for 20 years.
If you want to build something yourself, or you want the ability to refinish over time,
choose a hard wax oil, like Rubio Monocoat or Osmo Pollux on a thick veneer, at least an eighth of an inch, over a Baltic birch plywood core. The plywood gives you dimensional stability, the thick veneer gives you the look and feel of solid hardwood, and the hard wax oil gives you spot repairability. You can fix a scratch in 30 minutes without stripping the whole desk. This combination will cost less than solid wood, it'll be more stable, and it'll age more gracefully because you can maintain it yourself.
What should people absolutely avoid?
1. Solid softwoods. pine, fir, poplar for any desk supporting monitor arms. The clamps will dent the surface, the dents will deepen, and eventually your monitors will wobble. 2. Wax only or oil. Only finishes if you drink coffee or use hand sanitizer at your desk. The first time you forget a coaster, you'll have a permanent white ring. 3. Thin veneers. Anything less than a 1/16 of an inch on particle board cores. You can't refinish them, and if the veneer chips, you see the ugly particle board underneath.
The single most overlooked factor in all of this.
The desk frame. A 1.5-inch thick hardwood top on a wobbly frame is worse than a 3/4-inch plywood top on a rigid steel frame. The frame determines whether your monitors shake when you type. It determines whether the desk sags in the middle over time. Spend your budget on the frame first, then the top. A proper steel frame with a crossbar or a sturdy set of legs with an apron will make even a modest top perform beautifully.
What about thickness? There's this assumption that you need a 2-inch thick slab for it to be strong enough.
That's mostly about aesthetics and perceived quality. Structurally, a 1-inch thick top on a proper steel frame can support over 200 pounds of distributed load without any meaningful deflection. The reason high-end desks are thick is because it looks substantial and it allows for features like integrated cable trays or beveled edges. But if you're on a budget, don't feel like you need 2 inches of wood. 3/4 inch to 1 inch is completely sufficient if your frame is solid.
Let's do a quick comparison to make this concrete. One is solid ipe with a conversion varnish finish. The other is quarter sawn white oak with the same conversion varnish. Same frame underneath. Which one is actually the better desk?
In a climate-controlled home office, the ipe will resist dents better. You could drop a hammer on it and it might not leave a mark. But if your home has any humidity swings, if you're in a place with real seasons, if your IHVIC isn't perfect, the quarter sawn white oak is the better bet. It'll move less, it won't develop cracks at the edges, and the conversion varnish won't be stressed by the wood expanding and contracting underneath it. The white oak is the safer choice for most people.
A third desk. Hard maple plywood with a rubio monocoat finish.
That's the practical champion. It won't be as dent-proof as the ipe or as chemically resistant as the conversion varnish desks, but it will be stable, it will look great, and when it inevitably gets scratched, you can fix it yourself in 20 minutes. For someone who wants to own their desk for 20 years and maintain it along the way, that's the combination I'd recommend.
We've got 3 tiers. The absolute durability champion is conversion varnish on quarter sawn white oak or hard maple. The practical DIY champion is hard wax oil on a thick veneer over plywood. And the budget-conscious entry point is a good polyurethane finish on solid white oak or maple, knowing you might need to refinish it in a decade.
That's the matrix. Wood species times finish type times your willingness to do maintenance. There's no single best answer, but there are definitely wrong answers. Soft pine with wax is wrong. Particle board with a paper-thin veneer is wrong. Everything else is about matching the combination to your specific situation.
Before we wrap up, I want to leave you with one thought about where this is all heading.
Monitor technology is evolving in ways that might change desk material requirements. OLED panels are lighter than LCDs, which is good for reducing static load, but they generate more heat. An OLED monitor can push surface temperatures 10 to 15 degrees higher than an equivalent LCD. That's still within the safe range for our finishes, but it narrows the margin.
Standing desks add another variable. The motors need to lift the entire assembly, so there's pressure to make tops thinner and lighter. That pushes us toward engineered materials.
I think we're going to see carbon fiber or aluminum honeycomb cores with real wood veneers become more common at consumer price points. That's a hybrid approach that's currently only available in ultra-high-end commercial furniture, but the materials are getting cheaper. An aluminum honeycomb panel with a 1/4-inch oak veneer would be lighter than solid wood, more dimensionally stable than plywood, and strong enough to support anything you could put on it.
It's the same trajectory we've seen in everything, from car bodies to phone cases. The pure material gives way to an engineered composite that outperforms it.
The finishes might evolve too. There are ceramic coatings originally developed for automotive paint that are starting to appear on furniture. They're harder than conversion varnish and even more chemically resistant. Right now they're expensive and difficult to apply, but give it 5 years.
Here's my challenge to the listener. Look at your desk right now. Run your fingernail across the surface. If it leaves a mark, you know what to fix.
If you're building or buying a new desk, you now know the questions to ask. How was it sawn? What's the core? If the seller can't answer those questions, they're selling you a mystery, and mysteries don't hold up monitor arrays.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
During the Edo period, Japan's sumptuary laws were so detailed that a 1732 edict from the Tokugawa shogunate specified exactly which classes could wear silk garments with gold thread embroidery, and merchants, despite often being wealthier than samurai, were restricted to cotton and hemp with a maximum of 3 colors per garment. Violators could have their property confiscated.
Amazing that the shogunate had time to be the fashion police, while also running a country.
That's a level of micromanagement I almost respect.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for that glimpse into the world's pettiest legal system. This has been My Weird Prompts. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps other people find the show. I'm Korn.
I'm Herman Poppleberry. Now go inspect your desk.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.